Jesus. Come on, Chad.
Looked like he'd rolled out of bed, hadn't combed his hair or anything, and just was sitting in the chair next to me. And I started pondering. I said, what am I doing here? And that's when the Lord started speaking to me, and he says, Chad, what kind of people were surrounding me when I walked on the earth? What kind of people were I ministering to? And that's when the Lord really started unraveling a facade that I think I had created on my life. And so I'm really appreciative of Lee and Jackie and the impact they've had on our lives in this church and this community. Don't you love your church? Really, and I haven't even got to my message. Maybe that, you know, I have been in this church 10 years almost. Amen? And we do have till when, Earl? I mean, 11:30. Anyway, so just the impact our life. But, you know, church family is so important. As I speak this morning, as I get to my notes, we're really going to see how body is so important in growth. Without the body, there is no such thing as growth. We're detached from the head. There's a lot of people think that you can grow separated from the body. But isn't that crazy how God chose a body that maybe you're a part of to be instrumental in you growing in the Lord? I do have to say, I want to, Randy and Christy, I'm sorry, I have to introduce my good friends, Hammonds. I thank you for being here. You know, I've had three people that have been mentors in my life. Thank you, Randy and Christy, for being here. Mean a lot to me being here. I've had three individuals that really had an impact on my life. When I was young, I was an individual who really kind of, and I think when you're younger and immature, you kind of try to do it on your own. I don't need anybody's help. I can figure that out. It's hard to receive from people sometimes, to have people speak into your life. It can be the most difficult thing for human beings. The human nature, it's like, nah, God talks to me. I don't need anybody else's input. That's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. But I say that because I had an individual whose name is Dan Hussey. Some of you may know Dan Hussey, who really helped me in my battle with addiction, and drug addiction and alcoholism that God brought me out of when I was a younger man. Man, he helped me. He spoke into my life. Second was with Randy in business, a mentor in business. And he went to Open Door Fellowship, him and his wife down in Phoenix. The Corbetts, you went to the Open Door Fellowship. So at that time when I first met Randy, he had a real understanding of God's grace that I didn't. I didn't have an understanding of it. And truthfully, I didn't have an understanding of it for many years. He'd talk about God's grace, and then I would rebut it, but I would say, but you can't walk, you can't be just living in sin. You can't be involved in bad behavior. So I always correlated or thought about this grace as being free to just to act out what you wanted, to be in sin, not realizing that it's grace that actually sets you free from sin. It's grace that actually makes you what God designed you to be, amen? So once again, so his understanding. And then Pastor Lee, third person was Pastor Lee as far as ministry. I'm sorry, guys, I didn't have, what are we dismissing right now? Vert, if you are ages... Richie, I'm sorry, it wasn't in my notes. I'm sorry. Thank you for the grace. And then that third person being Pastor Lee, who really in ministry. It was funny, my first couple years that I was here, I told Pastor Lee, I said, I'm not reading the Bible right now. And you think as far as your relationship with God, you've got to be in the Word of God, right? But I had memorized hundreds of scriptures, but something still wasn't clicking with me. I was felt like that for God's acceptance, I had to read the Word of God. If I'm not reading the Word of God, he's going to be disappointed. But I realized, you know, he said, you know, I'm going to tell you something that some people would consider hypocritical. That's okay. So I say again that me and my wife just continue to come to church services, continue to come to services, begin to just let the God's Word just change me. Not getting into the Word. I already had hundreds of scriptures that I tried to memorize to change my life. And then those things would start coming up from in my spirit. And then once I realized, God, I'm going to read your Word out of a relationship, not out of something that's required, then I could start reading his Word in fellowship with my God, with my Father. Daddy God, amen? Amen. So I'm thankful for this body. Keep your leadership in prayer. blessing them, strengthening them, using them, knitting the body together so you and I, as we're going to talk about a little bit, can grow. I want to talk on a subject today. I'm going to get into my notes now. Isn't that awesome? It's called focusing on the invisible God. Focusing on the invisible God. Doesn't it, and since I'll only be here this week, I can have a title on my message, right? Focusing on the invisible God, which sounds like that's impossible, right? And I get that as when I was going to initially was asked to preach, I was going to preach about the importance of the Bible, how in society today, maybe even some Christians' lives, the word has kind of lost its importance, or the word of God is still inherent, without error, perfect. It's still the way God communicates with us, amen? Or one of the ways, the foundational way that God speaks to us is his word. But as I started putting this together, pages and pages of notes, right? Because I'm going till noon, is that correct? So I had to have all these pages of notes. I read this scripture and it just kind of took me in a whole different track. So again, thank you, Lord, for speaking to our lives today and encouraging us. And that's going to be 1 Timothy 1:17. It says, now the king, if you've got that bill, 1 Timothy 1:17 in New American Standard Bible. Now the king eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And it's funny how he puts that word invisible, because walking with the God and talking with unbelievers and those that don't know the Lord, that word invisible seems to be where people get hung up. A matter of fact, that word invisible, if we're not careful, can be where believers get hung up. And because we can understand that, see, now to the King eternal, man, we know that he has no beginning and no end, right? The Ancient of Days. We understand what that means, eternal. God has always been. We understand immortal. God can't be hurt. He's never going to die. Nothing can harm him. Nothing can diminish God's power. So we understand that immortal, we get that. And after invisible, the only God. We believe that he's the only way to salvation. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we understand that. That makes sense to us, doesn't it? And be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. But that word invisible right there in the middle of it. What are we talking about, Lord? What's that mean? Because if I look in the Greek, invisible means invisible, can't see. I start looking at what's synonymous with that. I start getting words like not perceptible by the eye. That makes sense. Microscopic, unseen, inconspicuous, unseeable, concealed, covert, deceptive, disguised, ghostly, impalpable, imponderable, intangible, masked, not in sight, obscured, screened. Am I making sense of what we think of a lot of times when we see the word invisible? Unreal, unviewable, vaporous, veiled. So when I think about this word invisible that's right in the middle of the scripture, it can't mean any of that, right? Even though when I look at what the Greek means, or I look at what our dictionary, what it means, I said, Lord, what does that invisible mean? Does it mean that is it true that we can't see God? We know the scripture, right? No man can see God and live. We know with Moses, we'll talk a little bit about Moses. We know that Moses, he said, Lord God, show me your glory. And so God put Moses in his hand and put him in the cleft of a rock. And then he passed by him, and Moses saw the backside of God. Isn't that amazing? But we know that no man can see God and live. But is God visible today for us? In some form, some fashion, some way. We know that the just shall live by faith. Remember that scripture, the just shall live by faith. But that doesn't mean blind faith, does it? Just believe it. See, that's my problem was before. It's just, you just got to believe it. See, tradition says just believe it. The way you were raised. This is the way I was raised. This is what we believe. So I'm accepting it by blind faith. Now, I looked up the word blind faith on, you know, everybody's Google Smart, right? Google Smart. And Blind Faith was a rock group that had one album in 1969. I was talking to Randy. Randy remembers. I wasn't old enough to remember that. But it's not blind faith that we're walking, is it? No. And I listened to some lyrics from YouTube of that band, Blind Faith, and they were all over the place. I can go through any door. Lord, I'm glad you're here now. I just, you know, none of it made sense. Well, blind faith doesn't make sense. And that's not what God means when he says a just shall live by faith. I think a lot of people, when they hear about faith, that's what they think. But that's simply not true. We know Satan has blinded the eyes of the unbeliever. Is that correct? How about 2 Corinthians 4:4? 2 Corinthians 4:4, Bill. Satan, who's the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to what? See the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. And we're going to hit on that, exact likeness of God. But as I was reading that scripture, I started pondering and saying, Lord, it says, who is the God of this world who has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. I'm afraid sometimes even with believers, they're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. That too good to be true news that you hear about Pastor Lee preaching. I think sometimes even as believers ourselves, sometimes we can be blind to that good news. What does that good news mean? Does it mean I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and that's as far as I go? Is there much more to that good news? Yeah, there's much more, but sometimes I think we can be blind to certain aspects of the good news. It's Satan's goal that we'll be blind in some way, some form, in some place in our understanding of Christ Jesus. If we're going to be born again, if he can't stop us there from being born again, then he says, I'm going to try to restrict their life as much as I can. I don't want them to live in freedom. I don't want them to live in understanding. I don't want them to know that I want to have a relationship with them. I don't want them to see Jesus. So if he can keep us restrained, keep us in a little box of not understanding the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ. What is the glory of Christ? Man, he gave his life. His name became above all names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is God to the glory of the Father. Amen? So this glorious thing is Jesus restoring us back to fellowship with the Father. This good news that he is not just our God, but he is our Father. We are in the family of God. This good news that he has put his Spirit in our lives. This good news that he's filled us with wisdom to walk according to what he's placed in us. Everybody has a purpose that God has put in our lives. Those who don't understand or believe God, they don't even think about that. They're scrambling to try to find purpose without the Lord. It's exhausting. And if you see people who get there, the world would admire them. Look at Hollywood. A lot of people say, oh man, they've arrived. They've grabbed the world by that brass ring. But then you hear so many of them who take their lives, who are addicted, who have no peace in their lives. So the fame and the money didn't do it. So without Christ, they're still looking for some type of purpose. Amen. They're still trying to see something. I'm looking. Something's got to satisfy me. It's not going to be this person or that person. It's not going to be this fame or this amount of money. Just like you and I, they're still trying to see something. So let's understand, how do we see Jesus today as we move through this methodically? You still with me? Amen. You guys hanging in there? So God has set it up in the world to see Jesus. We want to know, what are we seeing? To see Jesus first by his creation. Bill, if you can put up there Colossians 1, 15 and 16. It says, by the world we see Jesus. Christ is the invisible image of the invisible God. You see that? So first and foremost, there's that word again, invisible. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For by him all things were created. We're talking about Jesus, aren't we? Both in the heavens and on the earth. Visible and invisible. We're going to talk about the invisible a little bit later. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. The first thing we're talking about, how do we see an invisible God? Or how are we perceiving this? Well, I want to say this again. I want to say that scripture again, but I want to put Jesus in that place of every pronoun. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For by Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Jesus and for Jesus. First thing I want to say, it's funny how I'll watch these YouTube videos that talk about the size of the universe. You know, with technology, they keep making these telescopes that are just, they can see further and further out into space. And I was watching this one, is how big do they think the universe is now, you know? We used to be able to just see the planets and the moon. When, you know, we just started, we could see the moon. And then we started seeing the planets around the earth. And then we started realizing the Milky Way. And now we are seeing so far beyond the Milky Way. It's incredible. They think now that the universe is 93 billion light years in diameter. You know how fast the speed of light is? It's 186,282 miles per second. In 1 second, the speed of light travels around the earth 7 times. They think there's 100 billion galaxies with 100 billion stars each. And you want to tell me that all started with the Big Bang? The more they discover about the universe, the more I say, man, how powerful is our God? How big is our God? There's no way this started together with a couple little molecules and then boom, this all exploded. And scientists are starting to realize that, and they're saying, well, maybe there was a Big Bang. I'm not kidding. It started out of a Big Bang. But when you have to explain it away, and the amazing thing is seeing how big all of this is, that God with Earth, man, the apple of his eye is planet Earth. All these planets and everything that we can see now, just hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of light years away, none of it looks like Earth. How beautiful is Earth? Life made for man, 93 million miles away from the sun, perfect distance for what? The sun for his heating and just the weather and the seasons. It's amazing what God has done. I want to read this too before we continue. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. This is the key. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse. That's Romans 1:20. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. You know, it's no wonder Satan has pushed the narrative in our schools that God didn't create the world, the Big Bang. Because if you can brainwash people to thinking something different, but the truth remains that one of the visible qualities, the biggest quality of proving God is this world, the existence of this world. The Bible says there in 1:20 that they have no excuse because they can see his invisible qualities. Now, who made this? Who made the world? Jesus. He's the exact nature of God, right? So when you go back to that scripture that I had there in 1 Timothy 1:17, now to the King eternal, immortal, Jesus. That's what that invisible means, Jesus. That's how we see the Father. It's through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So going back real quick to 1 Timothy 1:17, Bill, just to read that again as we continue. Now to the King eternal, immortal, Jesus. Invisible doesn't mean I can't see God. It doesn't mean blind faith. It means that we're going to see God through Jesus. Thank you, Father, that this thing invisible, Lord, we thank you for revealing yourself to us through Jesus. Thank you, God, that you continue to speak to us and we see things by your Spirit through Jesus. Amen. So that invisible thing isn't something to throw us off or blind faith. That invisible, as you pulled out other scripture, means Jesus, the visible attributes of God are Jesus. Because again, it says Christ is a visible image of what? Of the invisible God. Amen? Isn't he wonderful? So obviously the first step in seeing God is believing the invisible God is the creator. But I want to say, can we see the invisible God beyond what we see? How do we relate with God? It starts with focus. And that's my main thing today. We're talking about all this that we're going to talk about today. If you don't remember anything else I say, the thing that we really want to focus on today is focus. And sometimes focus can be difficult, right? Some people, I've heard people say, Chad, you have ADD, you can't focus. No, that's just too much coffee. But it starts with focus. I love some of these scriptures as we talk about it. So, Bill, we're at 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not, this is an amazing scripture. This is an amazing scripture. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. What in the world? That doesn't make any sense. While we look at not at the things which are seen, but look at the things, while we look not at the things which are seen, what we can see, right? But the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen? And being humans on the earth, sometimes that can be difficult. Because if you don't know the Lord, right, all you have is the temporal. All you can focus on is the temporal because that's all you can see. But when we become born again, right, when the Spirit of God lives in us by His Holy Spirit, He gives us another set of eyes from which we can see. We can see into the invisible, and we'll talk about that. You got to be careful. One thing I can be careful because we'll talk about people. There's been many people who claimed I can see the invisible, and they go on to start cults. I saw an angel, and he gave me some special information. A new revelation, right? We know about that. The different religions based upon a vision, or I seen God, or I seen an angel. But even though we have things like that have happened, doesn't mean that we just throw everything out. What's Pastor Lee say? Throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? We don't do that. There's some things that we can do, certain things that we need to be aware of so that when we operate in the supernatural, it keeps us grounded. I want to walk in the supernatural. Amen. How about you? I'm a supernatural creature. After all, I'm told to look at things I can't see with a natural eye. It says, don't look at the things you can see. Look at the things you can't see. Well, how is that possible? It is only possible by the Spirit of God in the supernatural. Amen? Satan is always trying to mess with the believer's focus. We're talking about seeing things focus. What are we focused on? See, Satan... And we'll talk about the different things of what we focus on. Satan is always trying to get us to, as believers, to focus on the temporal. Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I'll overcome the world. There's never a time where it's like your life, all the ducks are in a row, perfect. And you can sit back and relax. Oh, man, now I've got it made. Something, a wave comes along and your ducks are just, then you're starting over, right? Aren't we always trying to figure out a way to have peace in our lives? Whether it's looking at our bank account, our job, our mate, or the mate we want, right? It's different. There's always things that we're looking at, focusing on. And that's okay because in this world, we got this world we live in, right? But Satan always wants us to focus on those things. That's called focusing on the temporal. And I've come to realize when we focus on the temporal, nothing's going to work out perfectly. There's always going to be things that are going to disrupt. Anybody who's lived life can say, amen. There's always something we're trying to figure out. But Satan is, if I can get people to focus on the temporal, then they're not going to grow in me. They're not going to see what I want them to see. They're only going to see what's straight ahead of them. When you look into a microscope, what do you see? Well, something looks very large, right, through a microscope, but in fact, it is very small. Is that true? But it consumes your whole vision. See, Satan is wanting us to consume our whole vision on our looking at our health, the things that we're facing right now. You know what? The only thing that those things will do is what? They'll take our peace. They'll try to stunt our growth in Christ. We won't walk in any joy. We'll become weary and tired. When we focus on those temporal things. with God wanting us to focus beyond that. I'd like to mention, by the way, Jesus said, what did he say? He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll supply your needs. I'll fill you with my Holy Spirit. I'll give you purpose. Sometimes it's just a maturity thing. As we mature in Christ, we start seeing him more clearly. You know, one thing I wanted to mention, a story had Moses. Moses could have focused on the temporal. Bill, if you could put that, Hebrews 11:27. We're talking about seeing now. We're going to talk about seeing things of the spiritual things. For by faith, talking about Moses, by faith, he forsook Egypt, which if you put it in the context of the Old Testament, what they're talking about Egypt is he forsook the world. He forsook the world or Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Wow. He was a prince of Egypt, wasn't he? You remember? So we know that he was born and the young boys of the Israelites were being killed. Moses, his mother hid him, put him in that basket, right? And he go in and put him in the water. And lo and behold, it was the daughter of Pharaoh who found Moses. And then Moses' sister said, hey, I know somebody that can take care of him and for you and wean him. And she said, you go do that. I'll pay that woman. Well, it was Moses' mother, right? And so Moses grew up and somewhere along the line, if you read that Hebrews 11, it says that he saw Christ. That's what it says. Somehow, even long before Christ, he and his spiritual mind and heart, God placed with him eternity, Christ. And so he might have not handled that the right way, because what did he end up doing? He ends up, an Egyptian was mistreating a couple of his Hebrew brothers, and what did he do? He killed them. I imagine Moses as a kind of a hulking guy. There's another, you know, kind of a hulking guy and kind of tempered and don't get in my way. Well, he killed that Egyptian. And so the next day he saw two of his brothers arguing. And he said, hey, brothers, you shouldn't be arguing. You're brothers. And one of them said, were you going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian? So what did Moses have to do then? Mind you, he'd seen the Spirit. He had seen something of Christ. He took off. And so he goes and he's in the wilderness. He probably has no idea where he's going, trying to find a place to live. He knows that the Pharaoh is trying to hunt him down and kill him. And he comes to a well. And at this well, there's these sisters, these gals, these women who are shepherds who are trying to water their flock. And there were some other shepherds who were saying, get out of here, you're not going to water your flocks right now. And Moses stepped in and said, hey, they're watering their flocks. And it says he helped them. And then through this, he ends up living with Jethro, who became he's out in the middle of nowhere, so good name for his father-in-law, Jethro, right? Fits perfectly. Amen. So he's seen this vision, and here he is now, he's in the wilderness, right? He has a wife, one of the daughters of Jethro, and now he's what? Now he's a shepherd. How long did he end up as a shepherd? 40 years. He'd had a vision. He'd seen Christ clearly. He ends up in the wilderness for 40 years. What is he doing every day? Sheep, goats, doing the same thing. He became part of it was a mundane thing. 40 years. Let me say something as you go through here. God is wanting to maybe you felt like God has touched you. God has given you, had given you a purpose at one time. Maybe you had a vision for your life, and then all of a sudden things didn't work out, and now you're living in this world of mundane. You're saying, man, I saw you clearly, Lord. You had a purpose for my life, and then now I find myself in the mundane of how's that going to happen? Every day I'm just doing the same thing, going to work. I'm just herding sheep. I've got this wife, and I've got my son now. I've got Jethro. My family's not around anymore. I don't have my family in Egypt. I don't have my family of Israelites. I'm just the day-to-day. Maybe you're here, and you're just feeling like you're in the day-to-day. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you in times past, and you're like, man, what happened to that vision? Well, what happened with Moses? Let me just say this in that mundane, don't give up. Life can be that way. See, in the mundane is where God really wants to start speaking to us. You know, we all have, sometimes we have this, thrill seeking. We want to, you know, always have seeking a thrill. Those guys that have those body suits, you ever seen those guys? They're just thrill seekers. Some of them have died. I couldn't do that. A thrill, you know, that type of thing. A thrill seekers. Or maybe in business, it's just the next deal. And that's the thing with Hollywood, too. I'd mentioned that. Speaking of thrill, but at some point, that doesn't even satisfy. It doesn't even satisfy. So I want to say that through this thing with mundane, what ends up happening with Moses, the burning bush experience, right? I tell you what, he becomes so despondent. God speaks to him through a burning bush, and what's Moses say? Send somebody else. I'm serious, right? I can't speak. Send somebody else. Well, here, put your staff down. It turns into a snake. Pick it up. A miracle, right? Put your hand in your coat. Pull it out. It's leprosy. Put it back in. Pull it out. It's white. What does Moses say? Send somebody else. Even after that, he'd become so downtrodden that even a miracle that time he'd given up. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that those who have maybe been downtrodden or given up, that, Lord, they'll hear your voice, that they'll come alive again in you, Lord. We thank you that you're the God of miracles, Lord, the God of third, fourth, fifth, tenth, 20, 100 chances, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing we've done that's so bad that you can't restore us and give us purpose. Lord, how awful it is for people, or Satan, people to have Satan thinking there's no purpose. I've messed up too much. Too much time has gone on. At this point, Moses is 80 years of age, 40 years in the wilderness. Father, we thank you for purpose regardless of time that has gone on. Maybe you find yourself in the mundane right now. And you start getting restless. I like the fact that mundane means lacking interest or excitement, dull. Life can be that way. But in that mundane, as we speak, Lord wants to speak to our hearts. Number two, the other thing that on the definition of mundane, it said of this earthly world rather than a heavenly or spiritual one. Isn't that interesting? In the mundane, I tell you that God wants us to walk in his spirit, though. It's very important during the mundane that sometimes we become thrill seekers, or maybe we said, you know, I've got to make my own way, God, because it's becoming mundane. Let me say this, that to continue to serve him, continue to focus on him, and he'll bring his purpose forward and bring it to light in your life. In the mundane could be the most important part of your walk with Christ. Sometimes we'll turn to other things and say, I get tired of waiting. Or become so despondent like Moses that after seeing some of these miracles, he even said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I still don't want to do it. Ask for sight. Let's get into this as we move on. Ask for sight. What are we seeing? What did Paul say in Ephesians 1:18? Let's go to the Bill, Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know that what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of the glory of his inheritance in saints, and of saints. Pray that the eyes of our heart would be open. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you, Lord, that Christ takes form in our spiritual mind, that we begin to see a form of you, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we're not just walking in blind faith. The spiritual things, maybe the Lord has given you a vision and a purpose for your life. Maybe you can see that. Don't give up on that. During that mundane time in your life, continue to take each step, focusing on him, his purposes. Has he given us all purpose? Amen. So the important thing during that mundane, continue to focus on him. We are spiritual beings. Jesus said you must be born again, be born of water and the Spirit. So we know that we can see somewhat in the spiritual world that we're going to talk about by his Spirit. Amen. Let's talk about that as we are going to wrap this up in 10 or 15 minutes. Are you guys happy about that? You still with me? You hanging in there? Amen? How do we see God anyway? Through Jesus, right? By the Holy Spirit? The eyes of our hearts begin to see a form of Christ, his character in us. Let me just say this. The first thing is the Word of God is always the foundation of our faith. Always the foundation. People say, I can't understand the Word. The Lord can help you understand his Word. His Spirit is in you. So it's always the foundation. The foundation of the church is his Word. It's not a prophecy. Prophecy is good. It's not visions or dreams. Those can be awesome. But the foundation of our church is the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God keeps us grounded. The Word of God is what checks us against other things going on in our life. As an example, if the Lord spoke to you and says, the Lord told me I'm going to have my neighbor's Mercedes, we know that's not true, right? You heard the voice of your flesh. God didn't tell you that as an example. So the Word of God is always our foundation. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things, Bill. Psalms 119:18. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful truths in your instructions. I've had times where the Lord is just words. His word has jumped off the page into my heart. I start sensing his presence, his character. I can start seeing Jesus as he was walking along the Galilee, talking to his disciples. I start getting this imagination of what it was walking with Jesus on the earth. His words, as we read them, can become pictures in our mind. Pictures of seeing those who need the Lord that are lost, to pray for them. Seeing pictures of what God has for our lives. We start seeing those with our spiritual eyes. It's not blind faith. Amen. We thank you, Father, through the word. Another one, the number two, through his body, the church, we are called a body. The word of God is our foundation. The body of Christ is our anchor. In 1 Corinthians, I don't have the scriptures up here, but in 1 Corinthians 12 through 20, we have many functions. It talks about the different functions of the body. A hand, or it says, are all a hand, an eye, foot, the mouthpiece. It starts talking about the different parts of the body and that we're formed together with ligaments. We all have a purpose in that body. And as I saw, the Lord really spoke to me that unless you're plugged into the body, you just can't grow. There's no such thing as holy hobos. There's no such thing as somebody being outside. And I say that seriously, somebody being outside of Christ. I have a friend, I won't divulge his name, nobody here knows him, but he loves the Lord. But he'll go from church to church, and he'll be there a while, but he always critiques it to the point that he has to leave. He causes problems. And meantime, he's wrote this book, and he says, man, I want to get this book published. And then he said something to me during lunch that it struck me. He says, I can't seem to get a platform to speak what God's given me. And you know why that is? He's never been a part of a body. He's never been a part of some people that trust him, where they've seen his character tested, seen his character, that he's proved to them that he's growing in the knowledge of God, that he's seeing God, seeing Jesus, his vision of Jesus is clear and correct. Being part of the body of God is how we're going to grow. If I happen to be a hand in the body, and that hand gets cut off, can it grow? It'll never grow. Father, help us today as brothers and sisters in Christ realize how important it is to be grafted into the body. We've got a part to play. And when the Lord touches your heart and you're growing in him, you just want to help people. It doesn't matter where you're plugged in. You'll just say, hey, where can I help? And then as you're helping and working with people, that's how you learn to deal with conflict. You know, is there some conflict? That's how you mature in walking in humility and esteeming others better than yourself, yielding to others. In the flesh itself, it ain't easy. You know, aid is in the dictionary, so now it's a proper word. Amen? It's not easy. So being plugged into a body. Amen? If there's anything that has helped me grow in these last 10 years, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it is being plugged into a body. Amen? Serving in the body. I noticed as I started serving in the body and taking it seriously that all of a sudden I was hearing God's voice clear. I started seeing a vision for my future. Amen? Let me tell you, a vision for your future is beyond just a bank account or being a good employer or employee or having your own business. It goes far beyond that, God's purpose. You can be in business, and God still have another set of things that he wants you to do. Another set of skills and anointing that's outside of that. Amen? So as we are part of a body, whatever that is, we'll begin to grow. Amen. It can be challenging. If there's any place I notice where God will challenge people, it's being part of a body. That's why it says in 1 Peter 4 to love each other deeply, to forgive each other, and it says to manage your gift well. All those things in one scripture, in those few scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for where I go here, Chino Valley Family Church, amen. Thank you, Lord, that we can forgive one another. Sometimes, like, you know, people say, gosh, that Chad, thank you for forgiving me. Amen. Thank you for praying for me. The Lord will show me whatever that irritation is that I can change. Isn't that the truth? Through the body. And one thing I want to mention too, number three, is dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. I think sometimes the body has thrown this out because of what I've mentioned before. People have gotten way off. You know, in Colossians chapter 2, it talks about those who are, they're separated from the head, from Christ. They're separated from the body. And it says they have fleshly visions. And they get others to try to follow themselves. They have nothing to do with God because they're not attached to a body. There's no one to challenge them. Nobody can tell them that, hey, maybe this isn't God. According to the word, this isn't God. So they're detached from the body. So they can have these dreams and visions that are not of God. But let me tell you something. That doesn't mean that there's not dreams and visions that are totally 100% of God. And we need them more than ever in today's society. Amen? The supernatural is what's going to deal with the supernatural. The Word of God says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? Supernatural. You know, I've been studying here and listening about some of has anybody heard of the 1040 window as far as in North Africa and through the Middle East and Turkey? A lot of this, the Islamic countries, faith countries, we're hearing of these and reading these testimonies of people seeing visions of Jesus. Now, the interesting thing on this is Jesus is not giving them the gospel message, but he's either directing them or they can hear it. Or he'll appear and say, what you just heard is real. Over there, they're so fear-based that if you walk out of that you're damned forever. You could be killed, ostracized. They're giving up a lot, and so to accept Jesus Christ. So supernaturally, in the supernatural, God is bringing people to him. Amen? Let me say, God is still operating in the supernatural. Number three, Bill, put that up, Joel, if you can, brother, Joel 2:28 and 29. Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on everyone. Your sons and your daughters will proclaim my message. Or say they will prophesy, declare the word of the Lord, be walking in his spirit, declaring with authority the word of God. It says your old people will have dreams and your young people will see visions. Isn't that amazing? It says, and at that time I will pour out my spirit even on servants, both men and women. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the supernatural. Thank you, Lord, for dreams and visions that we can see you, Jesus, somehow clearly. I'm not saying necessarily we all got to go out and say we've seen Jesus, but God has given us spiritual eyes for a purpose to see things. These dreams and visions are still happening today. They weren't happening when this Word of God was written. They talked about it in Acts, pouring out the Spirit. Do you believe that God still moves in the supernatural? Yes. Do you believe God can still heal the sick? Amen? God is still changing people. So Father God, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you for the supernatural working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Thank you, Father, for releasing dreams and visions in Jesus' name. Things that reveal, Lord, things that it could be things that God is warning us about that he reveals in a dream or vision. Father, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ, of you, Lord. Thank you that we can see the unseen. Lord, your word says to focus on the unseen, not the seen. Lord, we thank you that we have scripture to tell us, Lord, that we're focusing on you. A lot of times I think when people are struggling, maybe if you're struggling today, even with depression, or you're struggling with frustration, what is your focus on? What is your focus on? A couple more scripture. I love this. If you've got this one, Hebrews 12:2, if you have, yes, fixing our eyes. There again, what does it say? Fixing what? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter, the beginning and the end of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. As the musicians come up, as we're going to, I won't be able to go much longer because I've ran out of notes. Can you stand up with me for a few minutes? Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for that we don't serve an invisible God as far as being real to us, Lord. Thank you for giving us spiritual eyes. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Father God. Thank you for revealing yourself to us in a greater way. Father, in these last days, we thank you for the Word of God jumping out onto us, Lord. Lord, as we read the Word, Father, thank you for a hunger and a thirst for your Word, Father. How you love us, God. How you want to reveal to us, Lord. These things I'm speaking of bring total satisfaction in life. Amen. Lord, thank you as we're walking in this earth that you're revealing yourself to us. Lord, we're seeing, you're opening our spiritual eyes to see things. Maybe just seeing people that they need you, Lord. Seeing the sorrow on people's faces. Lord, seeing people like you see them, Lord. That we don't get so busy or we don't get so preoccupied with the things that we have going on that we don't see the need of others, Lord. Thank you, Father, for stirring that in us, Father God. Sometimes it can be just a kindly word at the right moment that can change somebody's life. It can totally turn their lives. A phrase, somebody caring at the right time because they saw it. Because they saw it. Thank you for that Word of God jumping out at us, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we know that you love us. Lord, we know we're establishing grace. We know that we're on our way to heaven. We know that you provide all our needs according to your riches and glory. But Father, let us see that you want to reveal yourself to us in a greater way than even what we see him now. Father, thank you that we're not satisfied with where we're at with you, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that we're not focused on what we can just see. But Lord, we're looking beyond that. We're looking beyond our struggles, looking at you, Father God, the one who will take care of our problems. Father, we're not focusing on maybe a marriage right now that's struggling, but Lord, we're looking at you, the healer of that marriage. Lord, those finances, those things that are going on, maybe the Lord wants you to focus on him. You know, sometimes giving, tithing, giving of your finances, if I could put that plug in, man, helps you to focus on him. Who's going to supply your needs? Him. Sometimes that giving, sowing into the body of Christ where you're at, sowing into the needs of other, man, it can open up a whole world to you as far as God providing your needs. Sowing and reaping, amen? Very biblical, right? So, Father, right now as we look, Lord Jesus, we thank you. And in dreams and visions, we thank you, Lord, that we are spiritual beings. Our Holy Spirit lives in us. We thank you for opening our eyes to spiritual things, Lord. Dreams or visions. Or we're hungry to know you in a greater way. Father, we thank you that our faith is not blind, but you're showing us things. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for that. Right now, thank you, Father. Just for a minute. Maybe just right now with you and the Lord, saying, Lord, thank you. I'm going to focus on you, the author and finisher of my faith. Thank you, Lord, that maybe I need to recalibrate what my focus is. Lord, thank you that I'm not living in blind faith. Lord, thank you that I'm not alone. Lord, thank you that you've not left me or forsaken me. He is here. He lives in us. So, Father, we thank you. We encourage ourselves right now in Jesus' name, Father, to receive from you this morning. Amen. If you need to come up and just want to come up and pray, thank you, Richard. Do we have any other prayer team? If you want somebody to pray with you about this, just someone to agree with you. Just saying, hey, I want to agree. I want to put my focus. I realized this morning that maybe my focus has been on the temporal. That what I'm looking at is temporal. It has caused some strife in my life. It's the peace isn't there. I've got a concern there. Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. That you come up great. If not, you can right there in your seat as we sing this last song. we are going to dismiss. Are you blessed? We got out okay? Do I need to go any longer? No, thank you guys. I want to thank you, my church family, for listening to me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Father. We're going to sing this on Father, in Jesus' name, as we sing this song. We thank you, Father, for new eyes. Thank you, Jesus, for new eyes. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for putting salve of your Holy Spirit on my eyes. Thank you, Jesus, I see you clearly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.